Here we go with the book Capital E, starting in early 1961. The initial experiments have a clear motivation. The aim was to reduce and prevent reformation of disulfide bonds to enable conditions to be established for 1-1 and 2-2 maximum SH. By that I mean depolymerization without complete wreckage. And being careful to avoid reoxidation by using versine, that was the trade name for EDTA. The comment of the result of trying that type of experiment was disappointing result, as judged by the urea formate gel. The 1-1 is very resistant to mercap to ethanol, and the 2-2. Let's see what it says about the 2-2. A possible monomer, in quotes, of 2-2 at 0.05 molar, but I wasn't very sure about this direct procedure. Once again, you'd have to go in 1-1 and 2-2. In other words, I wasn't getting any change that was obvious with haptoglobin 1-1, but I could get changes with the haptoglobin 2-2. Pursuing this idea, synthesis of a cross-linking agent, iodoacetamide, combined with CH2B. I don't know why I was wanting to make this one. Or synthesis for hemoglobin dimerization or polymerization. Look up bifunctional mercury compound, etc. So I was trying some organic chemistry. Page 7, Saturday, February 4th. Different concentrations of mercap to ethanol, and adding iodoacetamide to try to capture a depolymerized product. The gel's not very convincing. The aim was to establish an equilibrium with enough mercap to ethanol to open up the 2-2 for reformation of 2-1, again a mixture of 2-1 and 2-2. Or 1-1 and 2-2 mixtures, of trying to make the heterozygote from the two homozygote. Page 9, the result's not very good. Very slight possibility that something synthesis is taking place with mercap to ethanol, but not with mercap to ethanol plus iodoacetamide. Pursuing this idea, splitting in the presence of hemoglobin, tried on February 14th. And rough tests of precipitated material. A comment that the hemoglobin haptoglobin appears to be okay. It's the hemoglobin which is wrecked. Very marked effect of mercap to ethanol on 2-2 hemoglobin for Wednesday, February 15th, page 13. February the 16th, Thursday, where material that had been treated 1 milligram of 1121 and 22 with DNA's hemoglobin and then EDTA, a mercaptan ethanol added, and then run on a borate a gel containing the sodium salt of verzine. And the results are confusing, is the comment. Clearly the 2-1 has dissociated and so has the 2-2, and something is running I'll do that again. The comment in the on page 116, the results are confusing, cannot recognize hemoglobin, haptoglobin, and yet the polymers are abolished. So something is working in terms of getting rid of the polymers in the presence of EDTA and so on. Testing on other gels, February 17th, with in the presence of EDTA and mercaptan ethanol, gels containing different amounts of mercaptan ethanol. New 2-2 is split okay. The faster components are haptoglobin products and it looks clean, so I was somewhat encouraged. Although on page 21 I say these results are surprising. Even at 0.01 molar mercaptan ethanol multiples are visible. So I can try for resynthesis, which I attempted on Saturday, February 18th, resynthesis test in the presence of verzine. This is a haptoglobin 1121 and a mixture again, and 2-2, and treated in the presence of hemoglobin, and run in a regular borate gel containing verzine, and one also containing mercaptan ethanol. With a comment that if unsuccessful but promising, repeat with hemoglobin. Looking at the gels, it's not clear exactly what's happening. There does appear to be some destruction or some depolymerization going on. And in fact, it says on page 25, following from page 23, that if repeat with hemoglobin over the page, then the indication that the reaction is incomplete in 60 minutes, and therefore made a second gel without mercaptan ethanol for a repeat test. And again, commenting on something previously said, looking at the E23 gels suggests that 1-1 is much tougher to open up than 2-2. May have to use I might use different conditions for 1-1. Page 27, the result, interpretation of the results are that 2-1 and 2-2 are completely depolymerized at 0.01 mole of mercaptan ethanol. But only, when run in the absence of mercaptan ethanol, they get the normal patterns. Still finding 1-1 was behaving differently. This eventually, I know, led to a paper on the depolymerization and repolymerization when I really understood the reaction, but at this stage I haven't yet understood the reaction well enough to make it useful. The comment on page 29, an attempt at resynthesis. Results show 1-1 resynthesis is virtually complete, but 2-1 less and 2-2 only slightly. So different temperatures are attempting to get this reversibility. Temperature and pH test on page 31. I've commented on page 33 by a big oval saying, see page 37. So we'll look forward to page 37. Sulfat reaction was reconsidered on Monday, February 20th, page 35, with a comment, no change. And going now, we've reached page 37, let's see what it says. A review of the E'33 experiment suggests that at pH 8.6, at 0.05 molar mercaptoethanol, there could be a trace of T1, of 2-1 formed at 37 degrees. Trying to think of repolymerizing 2-1. Consider using hydroxylamine to get the SCO bonds. Another comment on the reaction that might be used. Thiol ester bonds, February 22nd, Wednesday. Beginning to think that 1-1 to 2-2 bond differs from the intra 2-2 and is not a SS bond. That is an unfortunate digression in thought. But the tests with hydroxylamine were quite clear that on page 41 without hydroxylamine in the presence of B40 verseine gel, 0.01 molar hydroxylamine with or without mercaptoethanol, the result is that the hydroxylamine is apparently without effect. But do one experiment with hydroxylamine and mercaptoethanol to see. So Thursday the 23rd, doing that type of experiment. and a whole bunch of different things were being tested, pH 6.2 to pH 9.8, 0.01 molar mercaptoethanol, etc. Urea and mercaptoethanol, sodium sulfide, and mercaptoethylamine and cyanide, hydroxyethylamine and mercaptoethanol, etc. And these samples are so completely alike that I better check splitting with a dilute versine gel, etc., etc., so that everything looked alike. Not very much progress. More urea and cyanide on the 24th. Various repeats on the 29th. Beginning to think I was using up my material purified, because on page 49 I see check the possibility of doing these experiments with crude haptoglobin from DEA elution with ammonium acetate. Also try 8 more urea mercaptoethanol followed by Sevadex, etc. High pH test on February 26. Big discussion of things on Sunday, February 27. The negative 2-1 synthesis under all these conditions, the ready 2-2 resynthesis, and the absence of any 2-2 in 2-1 all suggest that the HV1A HV2 bond in 2-1 is quite different from that in 2-2. Etc., etc. If this hypothesis is correct, so and so should happen. Full scale tests with urea on February 28th. Page 59, the results show a trace, about 5% yield of 2-1, no 2-2, but plenty of 1-1. The synthesis is possible. Trying different pHs, trying acetone, urea test at a higher pH, pH 7. Repeat of acetone on February 28th. Check of mercaptoethanol in the gels. So going back and looking at them on page 75. The different attempts at resynthesis. Then on March 2nd, I wanted to make beta hydroxy ethyl disulfide. And I'm beginning to get towards what's worked. So this is HOCH2CH2SS, CH2CH2OH, which I wanted to make. Later on, I think I found I could buy it. The disulfide this adventure, there was the secret, using an excess of the disulfide in the presence of a trace of the SH compound and making mixed disulfides, but I haven't reached that point in these experiments. Urea alone tests a new disulfide synthesizer on March 2nd. I was thinking that by using the disulfide I could reverse the reaction. In fact, it turned out that it would make the reaction go further to completion. Complex gel on page 81. Beginning clue to what's happening. The pH 6 test, this is page 81, the pH 6 test is rather odd. The first 2-1 band is very clear and 1-1 is much reduced, but a heavy band has formed at a position a little faster than 2-2 first, but different in diffusion from the usual 2-1 band in that position. Beginning to see something, some different end product. Reruns of this on page 83. And more tests of SS tests on Friday, March the 3rd. Test of the concentration of SS, of the disulfide, mercaptoethanol disulfide. On Saturday, March 4th. Getting close, but not there yet. Sunday, March 5th, consideration of secondary secondary 2-2 reaction, acidification test, abandoned. Test of acetone at 25% Monday, March 6th. And these are all the polymers, all the polymers have gone with these tests with acetone. All with hemoglobin added. Indication that hemoglobin might be binding to the haptoglobin 2-2 that has been depolymerized, but I doubt it. Um, And now there's a better terminology for the diethylodiglycol, easier compound to understand. Aldrich product gives a cloudy aqueous solution made up of one molar solution and deionized it. I could buy the compound from Aldrich. This is the beginning of the getting towards the end of understanding. Friday, March 11th, still trying 25% acetone. The results show that 1-1 acetone has no visible 2-1 at this stage, etc. Comments on what's happening. Cold acetone test on Sunday. I still haven't given up on acetone. March 13th, page 105. Usual sort of comment on 107. The results of B105 are odd. The 2-2 without acetone shows scarcely any polymers. Must be poor stuff. And with cold acetone is no different. Thus the evidence suggests that cold acetone is safe, but this 2-2 is no good. Test with good 2-2, but not necessary because this has been done. So a full-scale cold test with 25% acetone on Monday, March 13th. Not very much indication of anything much happening from looking at the gels here, but no comment made at this point, except on page 111 it says the results show that 1-1 and 2-2 is not going to 2-1 in cold acetone. So you can't get 1-1 and 2-2 to give rise to a heterozygous pattern with this procedure. On page 111 again, possible trace of 2-1 in the 1-1 plus 2-2, but mainly just the mixture of 1-1 plus 2-2. Repeated on the following day. With versine. And also looking at the effect on transferrin and ceruloplasmin, and with the comment that ceruloplasmin is unaffected by the versine, except that the migration is improved. With transferrin solutions, the transferrin was from Schultz via Dave Pulick, MDP, and the ceruloplasmin was from MDP, Dave Pulick. So these were purified gel, materials, and tested to see if 1,000 molar versine would have any effect on them. Tests of Dowex, not very satisfactory. No sign of haptoglobin, only albumin, except in fraction 63. Continuing in the same sort of vein, page 125, still no appreciable haptoglobin. These are Dowex experiments. A in the column fractions, on 129, it says the haptoglobin in the bulk sample, bulk elution, but not in the column, but no images. So on experiments with Dowics, tests of increased plasma to Dowics ratio. Results show that haptoglobin is well recovered at 5R to 1P ratio. But clear that higher pH introduces some trouble. Repeat with pH adjustment with acetic acid. So the Dowics chloride with acetic acid tested on the next day. And various comments. Testing in the presence of sodium chloride on April 19. Increasing sodium chloride decreases haptoglobin at the same rate as albumin. So repeat sodium chloride gradient. Etc. And done again on page 159, repeat of the sodium chloride gradient in Ectiola and DAE versus Dowics. And with a comment at the bottom that the yield tests, the yields are all, the results suggest that the Ectiola yield is approximately equivalent to DAE, but the purity is almost equal to the Dowics, all haptoglobin in one and two of each, so repeated on pools for amounts, with a comment on page 148 that the yields are all essentially equal. With Dowics, only a trace up, if at all. And that's the end of this book.